Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is our friend Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Welcome, Ed. It's always wonderful to have you.
It's good to be with you again, Alan.
Okay. So let's start. I'll name something, and then you just talk. You wail on it. Okay, ready? Hillary Clinton.
She's in deep trouble. If she's measured by the way General Petraeus was measured, head of CIA, He gave some confidential information to someone he should not have, and he had to plead to it and got probation. She's in even a worse situation than he is with respect to classified information and having kept it in unsecured places and knowingly kept it in unsecured places. It's not just Petraeus, but another head of the CIA was also indicted over this, over a similar kind of thing, because he kept it on his home computer. And this is not a political matter. It's now a criminal matter, which is being investigated by the FBI. And the Justice Department now has a prosecutor on it, the same person who prosecuted General Petraeus. This is a real problem for her.
So if not Hillary, if Hillary gets knocked out, who do you think the Democrats have?
You know, at one point I thought it would be, I've been saying that for other reasons, because of her lack of political skills, she doesn't have the political skills of her husband, and the lack of any real accomplishment. I asked my Democratic friends, name me one accomplishment of Hillary Clinton, and blank. Oh, she was Secretary of State, but what did she do as Secretary of State? Oh, she was a senator, but what did she do as a senator? And then I said, well, I can name a few. Hillary Care lost her party, both houses of Congress in 1994, the way she did it when she was sitting in the West Wing of the White House, the way she put it together. And I can name another one, the restart with Russia. What a disaster, pushing the red button. We're all friends and pals now. We're going to restart. Look how Putin's taken advantage of that. But this is now she's in this potentially criminal box, and she can't get out of it.
Okay, so let's assume for a second that you're right. And remembering everybody who's listening, this is Ed Cox, who is the chairman of the Republican Party in the state. So you just put that into perspective, that's all. But my question for you is, assuming she doesn't run for president,
yep,
who would you, with all of your expertise, and you have a lot, who would you think they got?
Look, I don't want to be advising the other party who they should have as their candidate, but if she is forced out by this situation, I had thought that Mayor de Blasio would get in. He refused to endorse her three times on national TV on the Sunday TV shows. Went out to Iowa, stepped on her trip out to her first trip to Iowa. Went to Washington, did his Progressive Contract for America. It looked like he was positioning himself, as he did for mayor, on the far left of his party, to take her on. But he has proved so incompetent, has gotten in all these fights with Governor Cuomo, that I think it will be someone other than him, and the most likely person is Vice President Biden.
Okay, you took me to a crossroads here. I want to talk about both of those. But let's go stay with de Blasio for a moment. Can he be beaten for mayor the next time out?
Oh, yes. I mean, he is taking New York City back to the era of crime and grime and fiscal deficits. He is undoing every good reform that was done by Rudy Giuliani and then in education by Mike Bloomberg that brought this city back from the terrible period of the late 80s when it really was crime and grime and then fiscal deficits. The welfare reform that brought the welfare rolls from over a million to under 500,000. Obviously, the policing policies that have continually reduced crime rates that Bloomberg continued. The education, I call it site-based management, charter schools are part of that. where it's really the principal or the people right at that school who have responsibility. So it's not rule driven by the bureaucracy, but it is driven by what works in the classroom, and you hold that principal of the school responsible. And he's undoing with that reform. It's now 44 superintendents who are enforcing rules-based stuff on the principals, let the principals run their own schools. That's the way Chancellor Farina is doing it now. So the city's headed in the wrong direction. People know it. People are talking about on the Democratic side, primarying Mayor de Blasio. It'll be hard to beat him because I think he's got the hard left of his party that votes in Democratic primaries. He's got pretty well locked up.
Any candidates that you can think of that they could? I mean, you know, you can't beat somebody with no one.
That's true.
Although Mario did get beaten with somebody, no one. So Mike, that was a shot.
Actually, he was a state senator and who did
obscure state senator.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pataki, we're talking about, folks. He's up there in New Hampshire right now running for president, doing very well. My question, Ed, is...
By the way, a three-term governor. You have to
know that. You do have to say that. He was governor for three terms, which is why I think he's scratching his head right now up there in New Hampshire with, you know, 1% of the Republican vote and saying, wait a second now, don't they know all the good things I did when I was governor? But see, I have a theory. The theory is he's not surrounded by the same tough people that were there, you know, for him, like Zenya Muka and Al D'Amato, who were the tough guys. So if he had some of those tough guys up there in New Hampshire, maybe he'd be doing better.
He's a very good on the ground campaigner, and that those one-on-one encounters or small groups that he's always been good at is what he's counting on to bring him up in the polls in New Hampshire 7 months from now.
Well, good luck.
A long way to go.
Well, good luck to him. Now let's talk a little bit about Biden for a second. If Biden runs, will you Republicans be happier than if Hillary runs?
That's really a tough one. We have momentum on our side. After 9 months of Obama, and as Schumer said famously, Obama made a huge mistake in going after the health care and the way he did it, rather than paying attention to the economy, which is why he was elected basically by the American people.
Well, the economy's doing better, Ed, isn't it?
The point I'm making is that after 9 months, in Massachusetts, on his major issue, Obamacare, for Ted Kennedy's seat, Scott Brown wins the senatorship in Massachusetts, a rejection by the people of this country, basically, of what Obama was trying to do. Did that stop him?
I would argue, just because I love to argue with you, that the Democratic candidate was pretty pathetic.
It's still Massachusetts, and it was Ted Kennedy's suit, and it was his seat, and it was about health care. But Obama ignored the basic rules of FDR and LBJ. If you're going to do a major social program, you have to have Republican support. He had zero Republican support. In fact, it was bipartisan opposition. 34 Democrats opposed it. Then he had to bribe other Democrats. Remember the Cornhusker kickback, the Louisiana Purchase?
You mean
in those two states?
You mean FDR never did that? Are you kidding?
But my point is he had bipartisan support for Social Security and for Medicaid and Medicare, LBJ, and for civil rights. LBJ made sure he had good Republican support. In fact, a larger percentage on the Civil Rights Act, a larger percentage of Republicans in Congress voted for it than Democrats. So that meant that those reforms became permanent. When you do something on a purely partisan basis, in fact, contrary to certain members of your party who oppose you on it, along with all Republicans, that means that program's in deep trouble. The point I'm making is that following that 2009 and those mistakes by Obama, we've been on a roll. And I can cite it here in New York State, where we won upset victories, or county exec in Westchester County and in Nassau County. And we go on a special election in New York City, in a very Democratic district where Bob Turner won the 9th Congressional District. In 2010, across the country, we won 63 congressional seats from the Democrats. Here in New York State, we picked up 6 seats. more than any other state.
Okay, stop right there. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question, Ed. Do you think
my point is we are on
No, I hear your point. I hear your point.
And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. We're going to elect the President of the United States. The people are going to turn the government in Washington over to the Republican Party, and then we're going to have 1 year to really perform.
Okay,
if
but
we
I don't.
We're going to be looking to the other party again.
Okay, for whatever it's worth, and you're the guest, and I'm just the host. I don't agree with you, but okay. So in an off-year election, you do well with the state legislature, but in a presidential year in New York, there's a widespread expectation that both the Senate and the Assembly will go hugely Democratic. Is that wrong?
It's wrong. In 2012, Obama had 4 years to get ready for it. He was ready, and he did draw out a certain vote here in New York State. We lost 2 congressional seats. We should have only lost 1, but we picked up 1 also. So we held our own pretty much here. We did lose the Senate, but it was very close. And 2 years later, we won it back, winning 9 out of 10 contested elections. Nationally, though, we've kept right on rolling. Yes, we lost a few House seats. It was a little setback.
No, but I mean in New York State. I'm talking about New York State.
Yep.
If Hillary runs, which you don't think is going to happen, or if Biden runs, you're going to have a humongous turnout among people who traditionally don't vote. And that's going to bring in, as it has in the past, a huge number of senators who are marginal and on the Republican side.
You know, there was that thought, although we picked up the United States Senate in 2014, and we had more victories here in New York and Ed Day winning in the county executive, Rockland County, et cetera. But the thought was that in 2016, because there are 24 Republican U.S. senators up and only 10 Democrats, that we would lose, that we are going to lose the majority in the U.S. Senate.
Stop with the U.S. Senate. I'm not talking to you about that. This is the Capitol connection. It's about the state. So I'm asking you about the New York State Senate. Will it turn Democratic?
No, it's not going to. And my point is because I think we're going to be having a landslide. Well, the point I was trying to make is things are really still going our way. I don't care if it's Biden or Mrs. Clinton. We're still going to win big nationally. And your point about the big turnout, it ain't going to happen. The Democrats have been such a failure on the national level, and it'll come right down to the state level. And with Cuomo and de Blasio fighting like 2 scorpions in a bottle and ignoring what the state needs to
have done.
Yeah. That we are going to be holding on. Now, look, I agree. It is tough to do. You take the 10 bluest states, of which New York is one of the bluest, one of the most Democratic, along with Massachusetts. Then you got Connecticut, Maryland, Illinois, Massachusetts, California being number 10. You take that, okay, 10 blue states, 20 houses of the legislature, right? Each has 2. Guess how many are in Republican hands?
Go ahead.
1. Here in New York State. So it's tough. I agree with you. It's tough. But I think the way things are shaping up in 2016 nationally and here in New York State and in New York City, I think we hold on to it.
Okay. Now, the gubernatorial sweepstakes are getting interesting. Rob Astorino, who ran and lost, I think, badly to Andrew Cuomo, wants to run again. But we also have a guy in upstate New York named Gibson, Chris Gibson, who's an outstanding guy who had term limit himself in the House of Representatives. Sounds to me like you're sort of on the Astorino side, are you?
No, I am. I tell you, Chris has been great. He said he's not going to run again for Congress. He wants to build up the state party, and he's been as good as his word. He's been working with us, going out and speaking at a lot of dinners. I think he's interested in statewide office, but he's a team player, as is Rob Astorino. It is just, again, looking at 2018 now, the fact that we have such talent looking to do things on a statewide basis gives an indication how these people have very good political antenna, see the way things are going in New York State.
Yeah, but Astorino, it seems to me, failed. And Gibson hasn't failed yet.
No. He won. He won outside of New York City. He won 49-46 outside of New York City. New York City, we only get 18%. Why?
Well, New York City's half the state.
Yeah, it's half the state, and New York City was doing all right economically. People were feeling good here, and you dump $50 million of feel-good startup New York ads, everything's great, we're tax-free, blah, 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 and then it's a tough market, and you got $40 million Cuomo had to dump in here on Rob Astorino in New York City, actually saying slanderous things that weren't true, and Rob only had $6 million to oppose it.
Will he have more next time?
We're going to be in much better shape next time across the board.
And do you think Cuomo, based from what you're seeing, and you are somebody I respect tremendously in terms of your insights, do you see Cuomo running for a third term?
I think so, because that's what he does. And but unfortunately, you take a look at his job approval numbers for him, they're under 40% in the latest Siena poll and the latest Q poll. Under 40% job approval. That's why he's going after Mayor de Blasio the way he's going after Mayor de Blasio.
Well, I don't get that whole thing. I just don't understand why he's doing that. You said two scorpions in a bottle. I think one Scorpio and one mosquito,
I agree with that. It's a little bit like a cat and a mouse,
yeah.
And Cuomo's the cat playing with this mouse de Blasio before he eats him. I agree with that. But he's got to eat him. If he doesn't, and he gets challenged in a Democratic primary where he only got 60% last time against no-name, no-money candidates. In his own party, Governor Cuomo only got 60% in his primary. And if de Blasio challenged him, de Blasio could very well beat him, and Cuomo understands that, which means Cuomo is going to be going to the left in order to try and take on every chance he gets, will take on de Blasio. Can you believe it? The governor of New York State going after bare-breasted babes in Times Square?
Yeah, no, it
I mean, that's embarrassing just because he wants to try and say, I'm on top of this issue before de Blasio is. I mean, that sparks of either idiocy or desperation.
Well, I think the Cuomo people, to be honest with you, had it right. They said, well, you're allowed in New York because the Court of Appeals to go bare-breasted as long as you bring up the subject. But if you pander or if you mess with tourists, that's not acceptable. I think
The governor didn't even look at the legalities of it. He just, here's an issue. I'm going to jump on top of it before Mayor de Blasio. Well, you couldn't have a more local issue and one where you certainly want to be aware of what the local ordinances and law
So you think, wait a second, this is terrific. You think that the reason that Cuomo is going after, because I've been trying to figure this out in my head for a long time after de Blasio, which I think is a terrible move, akin to when he went after.
Well, I think it's terrible for, they should be, the Legionnaire's disease, they're having dueling press conferences while people are dying.
Yeah, but the reason you think all of this is happening is that you think that Cuomo's afraid that de Blasio would primary him for governor.
What do you think if you were Cuomo
and
Teach Out and Credico get 40% against you, only get 60% against two no-name late the people who got in late into the campaign, had no money and no name, and you only get 60% against them in your own party's primary, and there's Mayor de Blasio who knows how to play to the left flank of the Democratic Party very well and to get out that vote, and you were Cuomo, and you know how Cuomo playing power politics, what would you do?
Well, I'm not Cuomo, and I do believe that...
But you know how he thinks.
Yes, I do. And I'm astounded when he does this, because I don't think... I'm not his political advisor, but I don't think it's good for him. I mean,
no,
I think he keeps making more enemies.
Forget about what's good for him or not. It's not good for the people in New York State.
That too.
And this state is hurting. I mean, we are bleeding more citizens than any other state because we are the least business-friendly state, the highest tax, the highest energy costs, the highest education per pupil costs with mediocre results.
No, you said that already. So we're getting off of that now. I want to ask you about minimum wage. Ed Cox, chairman of the state Republican Party. Minimum wage in the fast food industry only. What do you make of that?
Huge mistake the way it's being done. And again, it's just Cuomo trying to play to the left flank. Look, he said, this will be an example nationally of what we ought to do. It's only a limited part of one industry that he's doing it, discriminating between different sections of that industry. There's a question whether it's legal at all. It's pure politics. And what it's going to result in is these food outlets will be able to automate, doing the same kind of automation that food outlets you see in airports, for example, where you have a screen where you punch things in rather than having someone at the counter taking your order.
And the automat. It's back again.
Oh, the old automat. My golly. Horn and Harditz.
I love that.
People remember,
My father used to take me there.
And the inner city kids who count on this for their first job, where they learn the discipline of a job and all the important things. Scott Walker talks about his first job being at McDonald's, and Paul Ryan talks about his first job.
This is all good. This is all good.
City kids need it just as much as they do, where you learn what it is to have a job, and those jobs are not going to be there for them.
No, this is good. But so my takeaway from what you've just said, and I've got my tongue squarely in my cheek, is, it was a bad idea to do it just for the fast food industry. It should have been for everybody. The minimum wage.
No, I think it's a bad idea across the board for that very reason that I just cited.
What about everybody? So you think if you make a minimum wage of $15 or something like that in New York, do you think that basically is a job killer?
This helps the unions. It raises rate scales for unions. That's where the pressure is all being done for. The people who get stomped on here is the inner city kid who needs it for his first. Most of the people in these jobs are not the wage earner of the family. It's a second or third wage earner for the family. And if, in fact, it is the wage earner for the family, you got earned income tax credit, you got Medicaid, you got Section 8 housing vouchers. There are lots of things that are going to get your income up to where it should be because of the way our welfare systems work.
Well, should I report?
And
should
all this stuff about, it's not a living wage for a wage earner. Combined with everything else, it is. But most of the people.
But the Republicans have been against everything else.
They're in the family. They're the kid in the family, 18 to 19 year old kid who's having his first job, and he adds income to that family.
Well, I have to say, when you quote Medicaid and everything else, those were not Republican approved.
Well, yes, they were. Republicans voted for those with LBJ way back when.
Well, I know at least one congressional candidate who wants to do away with Medicare and all the rest of it.
Do away with it. Substitute something for it.
Not on my Medicare.
By the way, Medicaid is we pay more for Medicaid in New York State than Texas, Florida, and Pennsylvania
that's
combined.
True, because we have more heart
in this state. It's not that we have more heart, it's that we are less efficient and more special interests getting their pieces up. We have more crony capitalism based on Medicaid than any other state.
We are out of time. Our guest has been the wonderful Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party, a longtime friend and a man I respect very much. Ed, thanks so much for joining us.
Alan, always good to be on with you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Thank you.